Hello.
We're here with Michael White.
And we're talking about lots of things.
We're talking some real shit about some people that you won't know about.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
George Plimpton.
George Plimpton had herpes and spread it all around the Paris Review.
The Cubs.
Oh, around the Cubs, yeah. Did he do a thing? He did the
He wrote that. Didn't he write that like famous, best, like the fake best baseball player article or something?
I know he was a fake quarterback for.
Oh,
like,
maybe that was it.
He did that
okay.
thing, and he did a lot. I love that kind of journalism.
I think I like him a lot.
I like him.
I should like him a lot. No,
And he started the Paris Review, which is. Kind of an and then he did didn't
yeah.
he do Pop Secret commercial. He did popcorn.
He did popcorn.
That's what I love. The guy who starts the Paris Review does ads for popcorn.
The Paris Review is one of those weird things that and we're not going to be this intellectual the entire. Maybe we will.
No, we won't.
The Paris Review. The Paris Review feels like one of those things that has been around since like 1872, right? Like
I always thought that until I realized it was George Plimpton who did it. But that was a big thing.
But he was probably like, 25?
He must have been.
How do these people do things? You look back at, like, Norman Mailer wrote The Naked and Dead or whatever, at like, or The Naked and Dead, or however it is. Is it The Dead or and Dead?
I don't know. Was Mailer a young writer?
That book, which is fantastic, which you should pick up, he was 23 or 25? Like,
I think there's those people who are mad geniuses, and then but most 23-year-olds can't. I couldn't. I was an idiot at 23. But there's that video of Norman Mailer and Rip Torn fist fighting on YouTube. Like, if you Google...
It's not like the Dick Cavett show or something?
No, it's in a field. I think they were doing a movie. They were some kind
That's like the most beautiful, esoteric, funnier diet history.
It's like a really surreal video, and it's like... Rip Torn just shows up at Norman Mailer's house or something, and like, I forget why they were filming it, but they fucking fight, and I think one of them bites. Like, I think Rip Torn bites him, and then years later, Rip Torn got drunk and tried to rob a bank.
Rip Torn became interesting after he got like drunk talk. You know what I'm saying? Like after years of it, like, because I know he's respected. You're supposed to respect Rip Torn, but every time I've seen him, he talks like Brian Wilson now. You know what I mean? Like, there's not, like, it's, Rip Torn. I've watched Larry Sanders. It's a tough watch because he's so slow.
I think he's a big boozer.
He's a big boozer. I guess that's what happens that's what makes you rob banks, right?
That's amazing. I was like, I can't remember. Like, didn't he, like, try to break in through a window or something? Which just wasn't even, like, well, I guess that's credit to him. Like, at least he didn't go in with a gun. He tried to, where were you?
I'm picturing Rip Torn putting a suction cup up to a window. Like, a diamond.
It's like, what kind of bank do you crawl through the window? Like, are you in, like, Iowa? Like, where were you? Were you like, oh, yeah, I can get in through the window.
And drunk. So you have to, like, saunter up. But you've been around Rick Torn. You've been around a lot of famous people, and that's what we're talking about tonight.
I've seen him in a play. I saw him in a play in Chicago, The Man from Atlanta.
Man from Atlantis.
Manfred
Mann from Atlantis.
Manfred Mann and the, I'm out of man's. Kirby Mann.
So,
Kirby Mann? There was, I forgot. I had a point, and I forgot it. Maybe it was about Rip Torn.
It might have been.
Fake name though, right? Rip Torn.
But
he's like a serious dramatic actor.
Yeah, it ended up in Freddy Got Fingered at some point.
Is he in that?
Yeah. Oh, he's in that movie.
There's always that element of when actors of that, and then it's like, and when they're that age, they're just probably like, "Fuck, I gotta get some money,"
or I can do this now.
That's true. Maybe
some point in life, I'm at that point now. I'm at the.
I would do Freddy Got Fingered. Which I think Ebert said was a great movie.
I think his review, and I'm a huge Ebert fan, like, he's kind of like the guy, was like, this is, I think it was like one of those, like, I'm going to give this one star, but this might be like absurdist genius something. You know what I mean? Like,
that's pretty awesome. And he's like, I could be very wrong.
Like, I don't think history has said he is. Like, I don't think he gave like a bad review to like, you know, 8.5, Gen X, 8.5, if you will. I saw that at 18 or whatever.
You saw Freddy Got Fingered?
Oh, yeah. That was the greatest thing in the world. There's a scene...
I didn't see it.
There's a scene where, like, two women give birth, and then the babies come out, and he starts, like, swinging the babies around from their umbilical cords, and then, like, starts chewing on the umbilical cords to, like, separate the children from the mother. And then there's like old, like, Native American women, like, beating on, like Indian noisemaker things and stuff. And there's no purpose to the scene. Blood's flying. And it really is just, like, surrealist, like, probably shit.
What if he or is amazing? And we're not ready yet? We're still not ready.
Oh, no, he falls into that pool of, there will be children. My child will think he's a genius. Like he probably, you know, like that probably will be the case.
And who knows what drugs will exist when your child is old enough to really facilitate that belief.
Wonderment. That'll be the drug.
I can't.
It'll taste like Vicks VapoRub feels.
I would take that drug.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Matt Dwyer's here.
I'm here.
It's fun.
I'm pondering that the genius. I was trying to think of something that was the equivalent of what people were like 20 years ago. I guess Duck Soup people hated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, Duck Soup's weird. Picture Duck Soup in the 30s. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of their stuff, even Animal Crackers, outside of that, there's moments where even now I'm like, or Ernie Kovacs. Ernie Kovacs is still, a lot of his shit, I'm still like, what would you do? People must have been like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Ernie Kovacs savvy?
No, I'm not. I won't pretend.
Do you know who I'm talking of?
I was thinking Ernie Banks and Sandy Koufax.
Ernie Kovacs was a big actor, but he would do these half-hour specials, and he would do really surrealist, weird... Like, he was the only guy... Like, while Milton Berle was on doing, like, shit and drag, Ernie Kovacs was actually, like, fucking with the medium of television and doing stuff with sound visuals. And some... Like, the Nairobi Trio, if you look... It's just these monkeys... It's him. It was actually Jack Lemmon and his wife, Edie Adams, in gorilla suits playing along to this weird song.
No way.
Yeah, and it's really kind of, it's surreal. And he would just do stuff like that. And I think people must have just been like, what is, do you, like in 1960, he died in 62, so like late 50s.
Have you gotten there with your comedy?
To the weird?
Yeah, have you ever... Because you're kind of like straightforward, right? You tell jokes and stuff. You're kind of into the weird.
I've gotten pretty weird on stage. There was a period where I thought I had cancer, and it wasn't my neuroses.
For real?
I thought I had cancer. And I went to the dentist, and he saw something in my x-ray. And under his breath, he went, well, let's hope that's benign. And I was like, what? And he's like, nothing. And he like did his exam, and then afterwards he was like, so, I saw this thing in your x-ray, blah, 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 and so I had to go get a head x-ray. So, for like a week, I thought I had cancer. Like, I was waking up crying, because he would, like, I was like, are you trying to tell me I have a tumor? And he was like, I can't legally say anything. So, I was, like, doing shows, and I just was, like, kind of out of my mind. And I think I did a weird thing where I, like, fell into a pose for, like, a minute and didn't do anything. I was also really drunk. I was going to die.
That's what you do, right?
When you think you're going to die, you don't seize life. You grab life. You take yourself out of it as much as you can.
Yeah, which could also be seen as seizing.
But the bad thing was there was a lot of girls
who loved cancer.
They were like, if I had cancer, my friend Abby was like, I'll fuck you.
Oh, my gosh!
So I was a little disappointed I actually didn't have cancer, because I would have had it.
She withdrew her offer?
She withdrew her offer. I should have lied. But I had a couple girls who were like, okay, I'll fuck you if you have. But, like, you're going to be able to fuck somebody when you...
How'd that conversation come about? Was that initiated by you? Was that like, well, I might have cancer?
I remember when she told me she wasn't going to fuck me more than the time she was going to fuck me. I think she was just like, oh, I'll fuck, like, you know, to help you through your hard times.
You're like, oh, hey!
She's morally flexible, so it wouldn't have been much for her to...
to waver.
Yeah. She should have slept with me anyway, because she's kind of gotten around.
And her name is?
Abigail Virgin.
Hey-o!
It is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that was one of those surreal jokes we were talking about. Just making sure all the levels are great. Then they are. That makes for good radio. What are we talking about? I forget what we're talking about.
We were talking about me having cancer.
Lorne Michaels.
Oh, Lorne Michaels. We were talking about.
Let's ask about that. Wait, so I'm actually curious. We didn't delve into this in the last time you were here, which you were here. You were our first bridge between doing straight baseball and just kind of like jumping into the world of like just interviewing comedians that we think are funny.
And I was sober at the time. Which was not a phrase I used, but I was not drinking.
You were in the clear.
Is that Scientology?
I think so. I don't know. Yeah, I was reading something about the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
Oh, do they use that? Because it's about.
Sort of. Yeah. Yeah. No. Ebert tweeted out this great article about it. I think my Twitter feed could just be articles about movies that he tweets out that I just would retweet.
It upsets me that somebody like Paul Thomas Anderson. Who I've met.
Oh. I stood next to him at one point.
I met him at, not to name drop, at, well, now I can't think of the name.
Harvey Korman's house.
At Harvey Korman's house. I ended up at Robert Altman's memorial service, actually.
What?
It was.
That's insane.
It was the most surreal. I had a fucking panic attack. It was when I was dating, I had a thing with Martha Plimpton.
With Harvey Korman.
Harvey Korman and Tim Conway. It was a three-way. But Martha was doing this Tom Stoppard play on Broadway, which was actually a trilogy, so there would be days where they would do all three plays in one day. Anyway, it was just like crazy, and the play in and of itself was this huge...
And she was playing her character from Goonies.
She was doing, which was weird, because it was about the Russian intellects.
Okay.
But she continued. It didn't
That's
make
the only thing she can play legally, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was again. It was maybe absurdist genius. We'll know in about 20 years.
Sure. Yeah.
But and then after the opening night of the third trilogy, we got overslept and we were pretty hungover. And she was like, "We gotta go." And I'm like, "Where?" And she's like, "Altman's memorial."
Was she in an Altman movie?
Her father was in Nashville. Her father is Keith Carradine or David Carradine.
Oh.
She's a Carradine.
One of them is much
sadder
than
the
other.
Dead. Her dad's the living one.
Her dad did not...
Her dad won an Oscar.
Jack choke himself to death.
He did not Jack choke himself to death.
Wow, okay, so...
I actually tried to not go. I was like, can I not go? And she was like, please, you gotta
I didn't realize she was a Carradine. I guess those things kind of trickle down, right? But
yeah,
wow.
But her parents were never... Her mom... And dad, I don't think we're ever legally married, so that's why she has the Plimpton name.
So her dad was
George
David Carradine,
Plimpton
and her mom was George Plimpton.
George Plimpton is actually
her
mom.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So, but then we went to this huge theater.
You guys still friends?
We're friendly, yeah.
What you would call if you ran into each other in a restaurant?
We've texted a few times here and there, and we'd say hi. It wasn't like we were like a. Unamicable.
This is a callback to your own great radio show's Come podcast. I like when people use Come to like talk about something else now.
Yeah, that word always makes me uncomfortable. Especially when it's spelled C U M.
Yeah,
like, I'm just like, are we still 12? Like that's like when like you're like stealing your dad's Hustler magazines when you're a kid. It shows my age because people now just look on the internet and get their porn, but...
They look at magazines on the internet.
They look at...
Pictures of magazines on the internet.
That was, like, a
That's
big thing when you were a kid, though. Remember, like...
Oh, yeah.
When you would find a porn magazine, like, in a field, which also just...
The
something...
field! Yeah, no, I mean, I know that's been beat to death, but, yeah, there's something about a field or,
it was
or
a
like
a... fucking gold mine. Like,
yeah.
You were like, holy shit, naked women.
I remember one time finding a picture... This sounds horrid, but it like, you know, whatever, 15 or whatever. Not 12, 11, I don't know. 15 sounds way older than you have to be so excited about like this. But it was like a Polaroid of like a girl with like her like eyes like stabbed out with like a pen and her vagina stabbed out with a pen. And it was like a picture that I found like just on the dirt by the and I think I went by that same dirt spot a few times. And was like, oh, there's another picture here.
You found more?
Yeah, it was like, it must have been like a drop spot or something of this kind. And it was, I guess it was a...
Maybe it was a rich... A
gold-ish mine. Yeah, I know. It was a, Interesting religion.
I found in an airport once. I was using the toilet paper because I was pooping,
if you will.
And but
as opposed to eating
a Polaroid fell out of a naked woman. Like somebody pushed it up like into the so that someone would later it would just and fall out. It was the weirdest. I kept it for years.
Kind.
It was a blonde woman, and I was in Edinburgh of all places for this to happen. And she was like sitting in a car naked with her legs open. And I was gonna actually mail it to a friend of mine as a joke and as a, like a fan letter. But I never did. But I was just like, God, what a, like, and then the story of like that couple probably like gets off on like the guy's like, let me take another picture of your love and put it up in the airport before I go to, you know, like, and
yeah.
Then probably people are like, woo!
It's more, and at the same time, like as like weird and like perverted and creepy as that sounds, it's light years
from whatever, what is it, the most, like,
yeah.
Now it's like, it's so easy to be a weird pervert. Like in,
it really is. It 10, really 15 is.
Years ago, you really had to work. And now you could just like go online and jerk off for somebody.
That's what people do. That's what people do.
And now it's probably not even that common. Like, it's not as... Like, years ago, it'd be like, oh, there's a guy who jerked off in the park. He's a fucking weirdo. Now it's like, the internet has made it safe to be a pervert. Now, maybe that's a good thing.
But, well...
Because some little kid doesn't have to get scarred by seeing some guy's ding-dong.
In the public park. And the funny thing is, too, is not to go down this rabbit hole that me as a teacher probably should go down. I got to kind of, like, curb thing. Like, I cuss. I say cuss.
What, do your kids find this on the...
My kids have found things and stuff. They know I play music. They know a couple of them found an old Twitter feed, and then I just did one under my own name that I stopped swearing in that was easier to, like, get past them. It's a weird balance. Because I'm like, well...
But there's got to be a few... 1,000 guys with your name out there.
Jesse Gloyd? there's a few. I think there's one in like 1875 that I found. Like, yeah,
he could have had Twitter. Maybe he had time travel.
No, the funny thing too is like I was talking to someone where I'm like, I've got like a fun podcast and I write stuff, you know, and it has foul language in it, and it's got, you know, but if Brad Pitt came to our school and said, hey, I would like to be a teacher, everyone would be like, oh, cool. That's cool. Thank
Good
you, Brad
point.
Pitt. But he's been shown his dick in a movie, I assume. And he's, like said swear words and, you know, simulated doing drugs or something, you know. And probably...
He's murdered.
He's murdered. Simulated murder, which is worse than showing your dick, I would argue.
I think it's worse.
Has admitted to using drugs in articles or whatever, you know, and everyone would be like, oh, cool, that's cool, thank you, Brad Pitt, for being our English teacher. But vice versa, if you're English
this
teacher.
This fucking double standard needs to be fixed. We gotta fix, that's weird, and it's weird, it's like, well, you kinda have a life outside of what you teach. It's like, we're entering an era where that shit is like, I don't know, I kind of, in a weird way, maybe I'm crazy, but we're like,
you might be.
Kids being exposed to certain things, it's like, you know what, like, let's not shelter, like, it's like, so what, and when I was in the second grade, I was foul-mouthed, I was swearing.
You were that kid.
I was that kid, and I'm still that kid, but I'm like, kids, people are like, oh, fucking, we gotta protect the kids, it's like, kids are way more savvy. And I was like, we were pretty savvy back then.
Well,
it's like,
and
we,
it's... And
we saw titties and stuff.
It's an adjective and a verb. I mean, it's just a few letters put together, right? Like, it's some letters from the alphabet that are put together.
Do you give the power to the words, said Larry Bruce.
Lauren Michaels.
A cocksucker.
All right, the internet. Not to bring it back to any sort of thing, because I it's fun chatting with you, and this is fun talking into this thing that says
this
blue.
I auditioned for Lauren Michaels.
You were going down the rabbit hole of being on Saturday Night Live.
I auditioned the same year as Koechner, my good buddy David Koechner.
Which I was happy that he, as a kid, I talked to him about this, and it was kind of a weird rite of passage for me, where I was like, when you were on Saturday Night Live, that was in, I was in high school, actually, at the time. I'm younger, I think, maybe.
That makes me feel old, too.
How old are you? You think I was,
I'm 43.
Well,
right?
Shit.
Think about it.
Yeah, only 10 years younger. But
a very lovely young girlfriend, though, because I'm in showbiz.
She's 14.
She's 14. And again, kids are different these years. You know? They're a lot more savvy than you think.
They're growing up. And but I was losing. I've got much less hair than you. I've got my hat on now. But I was losing my hair. And at the time, I thought to myself, this guy who's on this TV show is fully bald. That's kind of cool. And for kids to make fun of me in high school.
He had to fight for that. I don't know if he talked about that when he was here, but they wanted, I think Lauren took him into the office and was like, David Spade, by the way, big old weave. He's a bald motherfucker. And
he just goes weave. He didn't get like plugs or something.
He might have gotten plugs. At the time, I think he had a weave. So, because we're talking 12 years ago. No, we're talking more than that.
Talking 20 years ago.
I am a bad judge of time. Yeah, no, I was 24. Yeah, so but Lauren brought Koechner into the office and was like, you know, Nealon had a toupee and Koechner was like,
Nealon? Okay, I mean,
he still does.
Who else? You did.
I definitely.
Who the bald guy? This is inspiring us bald children.
You know what's his
Spade.
Name?
Adam Sandler.
Who's Sandler?
Bill
Murray. Bill
Murray's.
He's bald.
He just goes. He's just bald.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Which is cool.
Matthew McConaughey's big old bald mother.
Yeah. There's a lot. Yeah. Back when I was skinnier, I was at Sundance. Oh no, that's a stupid story.
You were where?
I was at Sundance. There's a long Sundance story.
Sorry. About McConaughey?
No, it
Koechner
has to
has
with
a
me.
Good
oh, really?
Well, when he was doing
it's a Jubilat thing where someone was like came up to me in a dark room. Right before and was like, hey, Jude.
They thought you were Jude Law?
Yeah, it was one of the more flattering moments of my life. I was skinnier and I was only slightly receding.
I had, I got cornered in a bar in Chicago, and I had long hair at the time. This is also around 90, when I was in my early 20s, and some guy thought I was Corey Feldman. And I was with this really tall...
Which would have been super ironic.
What? That he would...
What was that? The one that was in? Was he in? Oh, no, I'm thinking of a Sean Astin.
Oh no! Oh yes, you were thinking Goonies.
Yeah.
No, Corey Feldman from Two.
Yeah, of course. I know. I was with this
really tall, beautiful blonde woman. Not that Corey Feldman, but like, and this guy was like, "Hey, what are you doing in town?" And I was working at Second City at the time. I was like, I don't know. And he's like, "You in town doing a movie?" And I thought he just was like confused and thought I was a second, you know, because I was a Second City actor. And then he's like. It's okay, Corey. It's okay. I'm like, my name's not Corey. He's like, sure it's not. And he had like a something on him. The girl I was with, she asked him, she's like, what's that for? And he's like, oh, I'm a hired killer. I got a license to kill. I can kill legally. I'm like, okay, that's great. He's like, seriously, Corey, what are you doing in town? And I was like, I'm not Corey. And I was like, I'll take out my license. I'll show you. And he's like, I got a license to kill. I was like, all right, we got to go. Like, the guy hounded me for like an hour. And I was like, all right, I have to leave.
So you tried out. What was that like?
It was, I was in over my head. Something fell over there. I don't do impressions. I never have. I do a sort of a Bobcat Goldthwait impression.
Like the non-impression guys on Saturday Night Live have been like, kind of like Norm MacDonald? All the early guys, because they didn't really do impressions.
I mean, a lot of the impressions are pretty bad. Like, there's always the utility guy, like Phil Hartman.
For sure.
Who can do everything. But then, and then, like, what's his name, who did Clinton.
Yeah.
But, like, there's never been, yeah, there.
Cutter. Cutter Johnson.
Cutter Johnson? Was that a real guy?
No, it's
I don't watch
this. Daryl Hammond.
Oh, Daryl Hammond, yeah.
Didn't he admit to, like,
Cutter. Yeah, when I used to hang out there, he used to, he would, like, not leave his office for days, and, like, he would, like, walk around in like a robe and pajama pants, and like he lived in his office.
Here's the thing: as a person in regular society who like, yeah, you know, envies that shit kind of, you know, like wants like like writing and working for something. That's a cool thing, right? Like people get a license at some point in their life to act like fucking horrible people, kind of, right? Like you,
yes.
You don't like.
I think Lorne Michaels is sort of. I don't know if he's just sort of out of the because I think when you get that kind of money, you gotta lose. I mean, I have friends who've gotten kind of rich and stuff. some of them lose touch with reality. And
kind
just,
of, right?
I don't know if it's like, if it, that, like when I would say to my friends, like, who have some money, I'd be like, yeah, I'm broke. They're broke to them, I think, is, oh, I can't stay at the Four Seasons. Like, I don't think they,
no,
where
yeah.
I'm like, no, no, no. I have a negative balance.
Yeah,
like
I
don't understand my bro.
I can't buy something. Like I can't buy something to put it inside of me.
like a dildo.
Like a dildo, which I need right now.
You do, yeah. But,
Adam K.
But I think maybe Adam K. buys dildos. I think yeah. So I don't know what it is, but like there's just this total detachment from reality with that guy.
So okay, so you went in for your interview. You did. What were your interview?
I auditioned. Like they threw me out. Oh no, I did. My impressions were I did Bono, which at the time I actually could do a pretty good Bono. And then you had to do a impression, a celebrity, a political figure, and a character. And I did Ralph Reed, who at the time was the head of the Christian Coalition. And the only reason I was like, oh, I'll do Ralph Reed is because I was like, no one knows what he fucking sounds like.
That's amazing.
So I was like, they won't know what I'm doing.
So you were like, I'm Ralph Reed.
Yeah, and I was like,
bullshit, stupid.
But I was too young and it was weird. Like, and they fuck with you intentionally. Like, they call, you have like, I think I had a 3 o'clock call time and I don't. Think I they like make you sit in your waiting room for hours and
but doesn't,
hours.
Like I've heard this from a couple folk. Doesn't that kind of
it actually took
like
the edge
it,
off
it's kind of like
me.
It's kind of like boot campy, right? Like they're like, well, you're gonna go into the army, so we're gonna fuck with you if you're in the army.
Yeah, they intentionally don't laugh at you. Like that is the that I knew going in. Like they won't laugh, but it's like it was just weird. And you do with the audition where they do the opening monologue. And it was just, but it was weird because Lauren came up to me and he's like, hello, I'm Lauren Michaels. And I was like, oh, I'm Matt Dwyer. He's like, I know. I'm like, all right, you gonna fuck with me? Like, you can't just be like, nice to meet
Have
you.
Have you heard of a story of someone going like, he's like, I know. He does horror routine, sits down, and the guy's like, you fucking asshole, you motherfucker. Fuck you, Lauren Michaels.
Oh, really?
Like, no, but
oh,
wouldn't
no.
that be kind of funny?
I would imagine somebody at some point told him to fuck up. But, he keeps everybody in fear, from what I understand. And when I lived in New York and then I hung out, because, I was good friends with Horatio and Jerry were on, and, I would just hang out there. And hanging out in those offices and stuff, I was like...
Horatio Sands and Jerry Seinfeld.
And Jerry Seinfeld. I just didn't... I was like, oh, this is... I didn't enjoy the environment. I was like, I would not want to work here. Like, I mean...
Did you work there, actually?
I never did.
You just hung out with the dudes that you're friends with.
Jason Sudeikis used a joke of mine once. And that's as close as I'll ever get to. And I think Horatio used my name once. That's as close as I'll...
In a skit?
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah, Sudeikis used some old joke that I, like, have been telling for, like, years at Second City. And he was like, he called me. He's like, hey, can I use this joke for this sketch? I was like, yeah, I don't... He's like, you want, like, how much you want? I'm like, are you, like, yeah.
That's so funny.
I'm like, I don't, it's a dumb joke that I never need to tell again.
Are you and Horatio still buddies?
Yeah, I talked to him today, actually.
How's he doing?
Well, he's doing great. He just did a pilot. He's rich.
He does his thing.
Yeah, he did a pilot. And, he just moved here. He hasn't drank in booze in 5 years. He's a skinny dude now.
It hurts. It's going to hurt his career.
It might. I don't know if they've had any other Latinos on that show.
I don't think they're into that.
They don't like that's a very white person show, and
white,
I think it shows in the comedy.
Their progressive nature is shown in the fact that they are now a white hot girl show.
Yeah,
right. Like that's kind of the thing. They're a white gorgeous female show.
See, now we're getting that. Bridesmaids backlash, and then none of that shit talking Bridesmaids, but I just saw an ad.
It's not that great. It was funny and it was well put together, but it was not like Academy Award winning buzz, was it? Like
no. I just had a conversation with my friend John Vargas about this, and he was like, and what I found actually really insulting were people like, women can do that kind of humor too. I was like, first of all, we're talking about like shit jokes. We're shitting in sinks and like, I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, at the end, if that movie was a bunch of guys, people would have been like, yeah, that was funny, that was fun. But because suddenly women are acting, I was like, maybe we should shoot to go something higher. Like, but then, people, you know, I don't know if I'm making my
point. No, no, for sure. I mean, it's the whole, and it's different because the movie was constructed in a different, more, whatever you want to say, intellectual way, but it's when people use the tagline of Brokeback Mountain as being like, this is a cowboy movie, but they're gay. And it's like,
God, we're just fucking
like,
idiots.
If you took the gay sex out of that movie, but it's actually true, like, it would be a really boring movie, but I guess that's the conflict or something. Like,
it's unrequited love,
like or whatever you want to say. But like, that was always a, you know, the thing.
I like, as a society, we pat ourselves on the back. It was like, oh, we watched the fucking gay movie, you know, like, oh, we are accepting you now, faggies. Like, that's how
you're not Western.
Yeah. Well, I'm not so hateful. I watched a movie with two guys, you know, have sex.
Right,
but
yeah.
Then I feel like that with Bridesmaids, like, and they said, I think somebody said that at the Oscars, or like, the women prove that they can. I'm like, first of all, that's really condescending to.
No, for sure.
It's like,
yeah,
like, you know, women can make fart jokes. It's been, I've seen it.
But
it's,
yeah.
it's like, oh yeah, they've taken themselves down to the dumb level of all the other shitty movies.
That's actually kind of fun.
Yeah, it's kind of irritating to me.
Yeah.
It's like, well, who gives a fuck? Like, it should just be like, is it a good movie or not? And yada yada. But
and you and Kristen Wiig dated for 4 years.
We did. We loved to 69.
That's all you did. That was the basis. Of you
that
guys didn't talk, but you did. You talked through 69ing.
And then we made fun of her, the fat girl in the movie. Which is the other thing that my friend pointed out. He was like, everyone talks about how it's such a empowering movie for women, and it's like, oh, the women are making great comedy and blah, blah, blah. But he's like, but all they do is make fun of the fat girl for the whole movie. And I was like, yeah, that's a really valid point. He's like, but they're still demeaning women in a lot of, like, hey, fucking fat girl wants to fuck everybody.
I think a lot of people end up with that. Your friend's review in your friend Sylvester Stallone's review is really funny. In that, Frank Stallone's review. Was that one of your Saturday Night Live impressions?
Oh, Bobcat Gold. Oh no, I did Bono.
Frank Stallone. Frank Stallone. That was your
Frank Stallone. Because no one really.
Frank Stallone talking about Bridesman.
As Bobcat Gold.
As Bobcat Gold. Oh,
Frank Stallone, who was in Barfly though. That's a little. I think that's the only movie I could name him in.
He pops up on some podcasts, on the Adam Carolla podcast.
Frank Stallone?
Yeah.
Like, I always wonder, like, guys like that, does, like, just Sly just be like, hey, it's a couple million, fucking keep it quiet.
I think that he from the times I've heard him on the Adam Carolla podcast, he's bummed out on his brother, Frank. Or, I mean, Sylvester.
Because his brother doesn't give him money?
Yeah.
I would hope that if my brother had, I mean, because Sylvester Stallone, like, owns Picasso paint. Like, he has a huge art collection.
Oh, he in his heyday, was one of those guys that was making, like, what, like, you know, to $15 million a movie, and then
he's probably getting points. And
God then, yeah, and points, and producing other weird things you've never heard about. And then he still has, what are that, what's that, the Untouchables movie, or Uninhibited?
Intolerables?
Whatever, yeah. And he's got dirt. Like, he shits on coffee tables, right? Like, that like, he's one of those guys.
Sinatra.
Stallone, Danny Thomas?
Danny Thomas?
I've heard that was a thing. I heard that was a thing.
I want to say, and I heard this secondhand, that Sammy Davis Jr. alludes to the Eggs Danny Thomas, or Danny Thomas is weird, like, in his autobiography, like, that he talked to Danny Thomas about, like
Danny Thomas is a really shy guy.
He had to talk to him and be like, that's weird, like, knock it off.
This aside from some funny things we chatted about, and as I'm a little buzzy as we're sitting here, in your day?
In my day?
Do you have any dirt? This is not even this is the most worst interview question.
I have a weird story about Adam McKay and Paul F. Tompkins, but Paul F. Tompkins.
But they're nice guys. You don't want to shit on them.
Oh no, Tompkins told it on his HBO special.
Oh, okay.
But it was funny because I watched McKay told me the story in Chicago, and then I saw Tompkins tell the same story because Tompkins and McKay.
And you were in the back corner masturbating.
Always. That's where I'm always going to be found. But there was a story of them and this other guy who they ran out of money in a bar, so they started taking a bar towel and wiping off the bar and wringing it out into the glass. And I think, I forget who the third guy was. He actually is no longer with us. He had a car accident. It was his idea. Rick Roman was his name. And they, so, and then they were like, Rick was like, if I do it, will you guys do it? So they all drank this run bar rag in, like, in a pint glass. They all did it. And then I guess McKay's, like, for months after, like, they would just see one another and make eye contact and just sort of give this look like, yeah, we did that. Like, almost like they all were collectively killed the babies in Vietnam or something.
That's pretty amazing. So, wait. I'm bouncing around here. So, what are we doing these days? What do you have to do?
What am I doing these days?
It's the worst. That's the worst transition I've ever done.
I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it. I'm in love with a beautiful woman.
And?
No, actually,
finish the joke.
No, there is no joke.
Are you?
I am seeing this girl, and it's...
Actually, we this is an on-air thing that we actually haven't
had
talked
a
about. We have great conversations off air, but we
I don't have a lot of girlfriends, and I'm having the thing with a girl, which is, I guess, kind of long distance for a couple months. But it's weird because I posted it on Facebook yesterday, and I got, you know, where you do the official...
getting it?
Yeah, and we kind of also did it semi-jokingly, but I got hate mail. I got, like, angry emails from ex-girlfriends on Facebook. Well, there was one girl who I did, because the girl I'm seeing is a little bit younger than me, and I guess in some of her Facebook pictures she looks younger. My ex-girlfriend messaged me, "Congratulations for finding a 12-year-old. Now women like me, you know, will just spend the rest of our life alone," or something really weird, and I was like, what do you give? And then some other girl who I kind of fooled around with, which was a really weird tale. She wouldn't kiss me. She wouldn't kiss. We had sex, but this girl wouldn't kiss me. And it was, I was like, and like, while we were having sex, she, you know, out of habit, you kiss somebody.
Out of things you do when you're human, you kiss somebody.
I know, and she even said at one point, she was like, "Wow, you sure do like kissing." And I'm like, "Who doesn't like kissing?" Like, I feel like it's not like I'm going off to World War II, and I'm like, "I gotta lose my cherry." And so
in the
I go
street,
to the, yeah, go to the brothel and leave a 50, and don't look at me. But we're just gonna do this. Like that's how it felt. Like,
oh my goodness,
I felt
yeah.
like I was in a Neil Simon play. And she sent and
the Odd Couple.
To be clear
about it.
But she sent me this message of like, "Oh, I thought Matt Dwyer didn't do relationships. Oh, well, whatever." And I was just like, this is, like, what do you give a fuck?
Was she, like, a fan?
Have
you ever slept with a fan?
I was
have you ever had a fan?
I
joke, because you have fans.
I have some. Actually, I have a small amount. I'm very underground. I'm the Steve Albini of comedy.
You're the... Who's Steve? Right.
Steve Albini is from the band... Oh. That was a good joke. I just wish
it's
I could...
So funny.
I've never been... You know, when I worked at Second City, I got a couple letters at the theater of chicks. Oh, no, I got a phone call. And I thought I was unlisted. You know, because I thought I was unlisted because Steve Carell once got a phone call when he was on the main stage at Second City.
Personal friend of yours.
Personal friend of mine. I know his wife a little better. But Carell got this phone call, some guy, like, because at Second City, you know, you're like, you live in Chicago, you don't think, like, oh,
no.
I'm going to get stalkers, especially, like, back then. And he was in the phone book, and some guy called him at his house and was like, "Hey, Steve, like, I saw the show at Second City last night, and, like, really think you're great." And Steve was, like, thrown off by it, but he's, like, a super nice guy, so he's like, "Oh, like, thanks, that's really nice for me." And the guy was like, "Hey, I'm gay." was, and Steve was like, "Well, I'm not." And he's like, "Oh, okay. Well, would you like a blowjob regardless?" Carell was like, "No, thank you. No, thank you.
I'm flattered."
You know, I think he did say, "I'm flattered." Because he's like the super nice guy. Was,
what are you going to do? I mean,
so
the guy's putting himself out there. I mean, you're not, it's, you know. The guy's
yeah.
got some gumption. Steve Carell's wife, what's her name? She was on Saturday Night Live when you were there.
Steve Carell, or his wife.
His wife.
His wife was on there, actually, when I auditioned, but I wasn't living in New York then.
She was one of my, like, weird She was one of those, like, yeah, Saturday Night Live crushes.
She's a hot dame.
She's a hot dame, and she was, like, funny but not obnoxious, as you want a woman to be.
Yeah, we actually did a show together. She didn't do any shitting in the sink jokes. See, people are going to hate me for not liking Bridesmaids. It's like...
I don't care. Bro, that's punk rock, man. Do you want to be the Gigi Allen of comedy? Horrible and dead.
It's weird when you don't like something that goes outside of the norm. Like,
But the comedy norm is different, right? Like that's
well, like music though. Like, there's certain bands you have to like, and if you don't like them, I once told a guy at a bar, and he was a friend of mine, but I was like, yeah, I don't really like Led Zeppelin, and he looked at me like I said, "Hey, your favorite uncle molested me when I was 5." That's and I have a legitimate long list of reasons why I hate Led Zeppelin.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I think for starters, they stole everything they ever wrote
from. Muddy, the blues.
Yeah, Muddy Waters, Elmore James, and you could...
They made it loud.
They didn't change. There's like, I mean...
I'm no apologist. If their songs come on the radio, which they do a lot, I don't turn it. But I see your point. It sounds...
But when people are like... And I had this argument with the guy, and I was like, they stole a lot. And he was like, oh, but it's the blues, and that's the way the tradition of blues is... You know, they borrow it.
That's the way the tradition of us, like, stealing from black men is.
That's what I was like.
But that's actually true. Like, it's what it's like. We make this argument that it's okay to steal from the blues, right?
And I was like, what you're referencing is, like, when blues guys in the 20s would sit on a porch and they would all be playing together, there was nobody writing it down, so things got intermingled, and that was how the music was created. But then you cut to 40 years later when Led Zeppelin goes, oh, Whole Lot of Love, we'll just steal this.
Well, Cream did the same thing. I mean, you know, they've got a number. And I know they reference tunes, but those tunes are obviously in, you know, the public domain for a lot of them. But at the same time, not necessarily.
Yeah, but not Muddy.
Or even Rock and Roll is the Keep a Knockin' drum riff that starts the song. You know, you keep a knocking, but you can't come in. And it's like the same. And maybe it's tip of the hat. What do you call a tip of the hat? But also, you know.
But there's a lawyer who made a living suing Led Zeppelin.
Suing tips of hats.
Of tips of hats. And then the Dazed and Confused, that was a stolen from a folk singer. And in the court thing, a guy from the Yardbirds testified and said that, like, he was like, yeah, Jimmy Page was standing next to me. The guy was opening up for the Yardbirds. Jimmy Page said, I'm going to steal this. And you hear the folk song, Dazed and Confused, the guy's original version, and it's pretty much the same song, except a folk version of it.
Yeah.
But it's like, he didn't even hide it. Like, it's lyrics and everything. He didn't. It wasn't like, oh, Dazed and Confused will make it like, I'm disoriented in Tuesday. It was like totally just like... So to me, I'm like... Yeah, Jimmy Page was a great producer, and John Bonham was a great drummer. I don't like Robert Plant singing. But I'm like, they're not as great as we think they are.
For sure. I'm not going to say for sure, because I like Led Zeppelin. But I see your point. I guess my for sure is I see your point. You make a good point.
I'll take the Kinks and the Zombies any day.
And I love and then, Costello covered This Will Be Our Year last night. And it was
really?
Yeah, it was fun.
And I'm also Eskimo buddies with Ray Davies. Not to name drop. Do I have to explain what Eskimo Buddies is?
You do not. All I know is
a lot of
that,
people don't know what that is.
Does it involve George Plimpton?
It does. George Plimpton and I both... George Plimpton fucked Ray Davies. I fucked George Plimpton. I had a roommate who dated... my dick has been where Ray Davies' dick has been. And I think I can take that point of pride.
Yeah, that's so cool.
My roommate in Chicago dated Ray Davies.
Really?
And I ended up... I slept with her before and after, but that's...
It wasn't George Plimpton.
No. But the weird thing is, then I dated a girl years later who dated Ray Davies' son. So I'm like this... I'm like
oh my
really
goodness.
In the Davies dick line.
The Escobuddies thing is amazing. Ray Davies is... Muscle Hillbillies is, I think, in my top 10. That's the one for me. I like Village Street or Village Green.
Village Idiot Green.
Less than most.
That's,
I like Muswell.
That's the the one that's in everybody's brain. Like, it's like when Odyssey and the Oracle became, like, had its resurgence.
Which, that one,
that's
one's my
album.
Top 10. That one's amazing. I like, but Muswell Hillbillies is so good to me, because I love country, and I love that whole, whatever's
great.
Going on there. That there's that, and they did country, the Stones did country, but they did Gram Parsons is smoking a pot, joint, and behind us, and we're kind of doing a thing, and it's good when the Stones do country, but it's not, like the Kinks did like a skiffle country thing, and I loved it.
I feel like the Kinks didn't follow a lot of the shitty 60s. They
no.
didn't like it psychedelic
yeah.
and fucking lovey-dovey, weirdy, hippie shit. I mean, the Preservation Society gets a little concept-y, but it's not like, hey, man,
no,
fucking...
No, no. It's not Renaissance Fair.
That's a great way of putting it. And
but,
everybody got Renaissance Fair, and that's
Ogden Nutt, Oat Brand, or whatever from and all that shit. Like it's all like half the album's like, and then we walked down the lane. It sounds like
yeah.
things you wouldn't put in Game of Thrones.
I've been listening to a lot of Ravi Shankar lately.
How is Ravi Shankar? I've made fun of him a lot, but
I've never
really
been to him. Because I watched the George Harrison documentary that Scorsese did, fuck the Beatles stuff. I mean, not shit-talking the Beatles, but I mean, that's whatever. His, like, spiritual life and that whole stuff is, and his life outside of the Beatles and wanting to get out of the Beatles is so much more interesting than anything that goes on with the Beatles. And,
yeah.
And then, I was like, I'm going to check out some Ravi Shankar. And it's like, it's like any of the other shit from the 60s where you're like, oh, hippy-dippy bullshit. But it's like, it's actually really intricate, great. Like, it's amazing fucking music.
Let's check it out. The sitar is tough.
I like the drum shit that goes on. Whatever that guy. And there, I have this album, Indian Chants. And it's like, it's very vocal, and it's not heavy on the sitar.
Do you go there with your Irish Catholic?
To India?
Turns you on?
Yeah.
No, I mean, does that get your spiritual brain going or something? Or?
What, of Ravi Shankar?
Yeah.
I'm a practicing Buddhist.
Are you for real?
I do.
I'm not saying that jokingly, because obviously everything's like half tongue in cheek and whatnot. And so I'm just curious.
Shankar was what was he? He was the fucking bald head shaped guy.
He's a rock Buddhist.
He was a rock Buddhist. He wasn't Buddhist. He
was
Krishna.
Okay.
But I Buddhist chant every morning.
Yeah, you have to smirk. You're smirking right now.
Because for years.
Because I'm just curious. I mean, people have paths and things. And that's I'm very curious about paths.
I was an avid existentialist and.
So you mean violent alcoholic atheist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I always looked at spirituality as a weak thing, and
because you grew up Roman Catholic and you had tough times with it.
I did, but I also my mother has always been very religious, and I always had issues with Christianity. There was something that wasn't right there with me, and not all of it. I mean, Christ's message is fine, but all the other things that surround it and how His word got anyway. So
the conservative. Americans,
yeah. Like what's Woody Allen say in Hannah and Her Sisters when he's like, I know, I think the Catholic Church seems like a beautiful thing, other than the pro nuclear war, anti abortion. He's like, but other than that, it's just like this beautiful thing. But I hit this wall in early last summer of similar to I would say when I clicked, I was like, you know what, I need to step back from drinking for a couple years. And I had this emotional sort of like.
We only exist for so long, right? You know?
Yeah. And I just felt like the things I've pursued my entire life, since I was a child, I've been pursuing comedy and show business. And you hit a certain time where you're like, it dawned on me, it's like, if I get this movie made or if I get this, sell this TV show, the only thing I'm going to think of after that is. I gotta get another movie sold, and I gotta sell. Like it's gonna be the cycle. And I was like,
it's just a more glamorous death of a salesman, right? Like, it's the same thing. Like it just is.
That is
like,
the most bleak. It's like you just opened up my skies a little bit, where I'm like, yeah, it is, and it's bleak. And I was hanging my personal happiness always on, oh, I'll just sell this movie and, like, I'll become this guy. And it's like, you might not ever become that guy. You might never sell a movie. You might never sell a TV show. I might, and then what? Then what am I going to have? Because I don't have a good wife or family. But I'm like, but then, and then I actually, Duncan Trussell and I had a conversation about this certain things, and I started investigating Buddhism. It was the first time that, and I'm like, whatever you got to do to get by in life. But it was the first time I read something, and I was like, it made total sense. And Buddhism, I think, is very misunderstood in Western society, because there's that whole, like, oh, it's suffering and this bleak, and it's, like, it's way different than I think people actually understand when you start reading it. And I was like, oh, yeah, and it's all, like, you're within you. Like, it's not, like, there's no, Buddha, it's, people, I think, oh, we're worshipping the big, fat Chinese guy. Actually, he was Indian. Or, but it's, like, it's all you finding your spirituality within yourself, not a, there's no God, there's no soul. Buddhism doesn't believe in soul. It's very, and it's actually, a lot of it delves into physics, which is really weird. Buddha said some pretty ahead of his time things. He also said something about Jimmy Carter being president, which gets overlooked a lot.
I like the we've got, I guess, technically by our podcast standards, a few minutes ago.
Now we'll talk about Judaism?
Now we're gonna launch into...
Or capitalism and socialism?
Capitalism, like, socialism, Judaism, Jews.
My girlfriend's mother actually posted on her Facebook page an animated video of Reagan teaching Obama about capitalism, and it's so fucking offensive. Because it's this whole, like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, Obama. And, like, equating taxing the rich with thieving.
Which is, of course,
and I didn't know it was her mother. I was like, who the fuck is this Torres person? But she was like, oh, yeah, that's my mom. I was like, who's this Torres person? I don't think I like them. She's like, that's my mom.
What do you got coming up?
I'm going to South Dakota on Tuesday.
That's fun.
That'll be fun with David Koechner. And then Memorial Day.
I love that that's the first stop on his tour.
Yeah, then we go, I don't know if he has anything else. I go out with him as sporadically. But then Memorial Day weekend, we'll be in Chicago at the Laugh Factory, which I think is funny because I've never played the Laugh Factory in L.A.
Funny,
I have to go 2,000 miles.
But you played other L.A.
I've played all the, I just never played the Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store.
Piss again. Alright, so, I had a good pee. Matt's here still.
And you just said I could move in your garage. It is documented on the interweb.
Shoot, man, it'll be fun. Where do you live? In Glendale?
Yeah, don't get jealous. I live in Glendale. I got a studio apartment. Sure, my friends have gotten, you know, direct movies and got big houses. I want to keep it, you know, just down to earth.
Yeah. Move in the garage.
I'm a Buddhist. I'm not going to get it caught up in the material.
You can live into the scribes as long as I can hang out in here sometimes at night and play piano. And,
I
have
like that.
Weird people in here talking to a microphone. And you can just sleep on the couch and occasionally wake up and...
I have a dog, though. I don't know if that's going to be an issue.
We might want to talk about it. It's not fair. You save some money, we make some money.
I can pay you guys.
Buy me beer and Rob won't have to know.
Do you just hang out in this garage all the time? Because I would.
No, when the kids go to bed, mom and daddy have some hangout time, and then sometimes.
This is like classic old school guy. Like, I'm gonna go to the garage and work on my hobby.
No, I do.
That's exactly what
it's amazing. Great. It's the best thing in the world. I am an active father until like 8 o'clock at night, and then I'm here till midnight. And I write either at this table that we're sitting at, or I hang out with someone cool like yourself, or I sit at the piano with a something to drink.
Do you feel like being a parent changed your life
for the better? For the most part, yes.
I asked one of my friends that once. I was like, "Do you do
no,
that?"
No, for sure.
And he was like, "Yeah, for about 2 weeks." And he was dead to, and he was like, "And then I just kind of went back to being me." Like,
no, I'm me. at 8 o'clock and later. Like, I have to. I know that I don't want to be a horrible person to my kids. So
right.
Your friend's probably not horrible. He's probably over exaggerating. But I can't. I know a lot
of
my friends.
He's a good guy, but I think he was like, "Oh, my world has changed." And then he was like, "Eh." And then I just went back and, you know, he drank and.
Well, I still drink. Still drink. No, I don't. It's interesting because I don't my afternoon, like, I can't, like, take up, I can't go to North Dakota. I can't go play shows all the time. But
right.
The second 8 o'clock happens,
I'd be okay with that.
I can still create.
I'm a real.
I still do that and stay at home and watch.
I'm reclusive. Like, I don't like leaving my neighborhood much.
I'm kind of with you. It's probably what I've been doing.
Like, if I was going to travel, like, I'm not going to fucking South Dakota. I was like, if I was going to go somewhere, I'd be like, can I go to Paris?
Well, part of the fact of the space that you're in right now is I have friends that have offices, and I envied their office. They got to go to an office, and I'm like, we realized, like, we don't need to park the garage in here, I can, like, move my records and my guitars and piano out here at my table, and this can be my office, but I don't have to drive to it, so I can have some pops and exist
in
here.
It's way better.
It's kind of the best.
It's a very cozy, and you got a lot of, like, antique-y stuff, so
it's
like,
yeah, it's kind of fun, yeah.
I'd be thrilled to be able to come to this every day, and I will be when I move in.
When you move in, well, that said, Matt, we should hang out more often.
I'm in for that.
You're a good guy, and this has been fun.
You're a good guy.
I appreciate that. We'll continue this off the air. But that said, you can find Matt at Matt_.
Oh, you know it, Dwyer.
Dwyer. Yeah, D-W-Y-R.
At Twitter,
you can also find him on other parts of the internet if you search the same name.
I link my blogs on my Twitter.
And check out the Matt's pod internet web show.
Matt's Radio. That's when I was darkly doing a lot of coke.
He was darkly doing a lot of coke.
Really interesting stories.
Which is fun. I need to interview you about that. I've never done cocaine.
A wise choice on that one.
I love talking about people that have done it. It's fascinating to me. It's like people that have been in movies. I don't know. It's interesting. But it's a fantastic podcast and actually one of my favorites. And it's cool because like something like the European office or whatever, the British office, it kind of ends. It's compact. You don't have to you can actually, it's like listening to a TV show. You can get to the beginning and the end, and you'll learn a lot about Matt and his wit and whimsy when he's at least at his bottom.
I was at my bottom.
It's actually, all that said, you can check us out at Buckcast and at Jesse Gloyd and at Josh Forbes. So when he's around, I think my wife is calling. Goodbye.